She holds me until I stop crying. I wipe the tears away with the back of my hand and I nod at Six. Sam helps me clear away the sticks and leaves, and then we lay Henri's body on the ground so as not to dilute his ash with anything else. Sam lights an edge of the blanket, and Six makes the fire rage from there. We watch it burn. Not a dry eye among us. Even Mark cries. Nobody says a word. When the flames end, I gather the ashes in a coffee can that Mark was astute enough to bring from the hotel. I'll get something better the second we stop. When we walk back, I put the can on the dashboard of Sam's dad's truck. I feel comforted to know that Henri will still travel with us, that he'll look out over the roads while we leave another town, as the two of us have done so many times before. We load our belongings into the back of the truck, along with Six's things and mine. Sam has also loaded in two bags of his own. At first I'm confused, but then I realize that between him and Six, some agreement has been made that Sam will come with us, and I'm happy for that. Sarah and I walk back into the hotel room. The second the door closes, she takes my hand and turns me towards her.
"My heart is breaking," she says. "I want to be strong for you right now, but the thought of you leaving is killing me inside."
I kiss her on the head. "My heart is broken already," I say. "The second I get settled, all right. And I'll do my best to call when I know it is safe." Six pokes her head in the doorway.
"We really have to go," she says.
I nod. She closes the door. Sarah lifts her face to mine, and we stand kissing there in the hotel room. The thought of the Mogadorians returning before we've left, and thus putting her in danger yet again, is the only source of strength I can find. Else I might collapse. Else I might stay forever. Bernie Kosar still lies waiting at the foot of the bed. He wags his tail when I carefully take him into my arms and carry him outside to the truck. Six starts the truck and lets it idle. I turn and look up at the hotel, and I'm saddened that it's not the house, and that I know I'll never see it again. Its peeling wooden clapboards, broken windows, black shingles warped from excessive sun exposure and rain. It looks like paradise, I once told Henri. But that will no longer hold true. Paradise lost. I turn and nod to Six. She climbs into the truck, closes the door, and waits. Sam and Mark shake hands, but I don't hear what they say to each other. Sam climbs into the truck and waits with Six. I shake Mark's hand. "I owe you more than I'll ever be able to repay," I say to Mark.
"You don't owe me a thing," Mark says.
"Not true," I say. "Someday." I look away. I can feel myself wanting to collapse under the sadness of leaving. My resolve is being held by a tattered string ready to snap. I nod. "I'll see you again someday."
"Be safe out there."
I take Sarah into my arms and squeeze her tightly, never wanting to let go. "I'll come back to you," I say. "I promise you, if it's the last thing I do, I'll come back to you." Her face is buried in my neck. She nods.
"I'll count the minutes until you do," she says.
One last kiss. I set her on the ground and I open the door to the truck. My eyes never leave hers. She covers her mouth and her nose with her hands pressed together. Neither one of us able to look away. I close the door. Six puts the truck in reverse and pulls out of the parking lot. Comes to a stop, puts it in gear. Mark and Sarah walk to the end of the lot to watch us on our way, tears streaming down both sides of Sarah's face. I turn in my seat and watch from the rear window. I lift my hand to wave, and Mark waves back, but Sarah just watches. I watch her for as long as I can, growing smaller. One indistinct blur fading in the distance. The truck slows and turns, and both of them vanish from sight. I turn back around and I watch the fields pass, and I close my eyes, and I picture Sarah's face, and I smile. We'll be together yet, I tell her. And until that day, you'll be in my heart and my every thought. Bernie Kosar lifts his head and rests it in my lap, and I place my hand upon his back. The truck bounces down the road, driving south. The four of us, together, heading for the next town, wherever that might be. This recording of I Am Number 4 by Pittacus Lore was produced and directed by Bob Dion and performed by Neil Kaplan. It was recorded, edited, mixed, and mastered by Dion Audio Services, Inc. We hope you've enjoyed this program from Harper Audio. For more information about the broad range of titles from Harper Audio, Harper Children's Audio, and Cadman, please visit our website at www.harperaudio.com. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.